Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, December 16th, 2014, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. We're currently gathering the members of the Crystal Soul Group for our next Starseed Crystal Quest in Arkansas, which is May 10th through the 16th, ending up with Pleiadian lineup. This group is identified by having at least one of these six star markings, 25, 26, or 27 degrees of Capricorn or Cancer, Aquarius or Leo, Taurus or Scorpio. If you feel the call of the crystals but aren't sure if you have the required markings, just send an email to crystals@starseedhotline.com with your birth info, date, time, place, and your current location, and I'll be happy to take a quick look at your charts to see if you're part of this soul family and send you more details if you are. Our special guests this evening are authors Elise and William Hicks, whose latest book is called Wings, The Journey Home. It's about an eagle who forgets who he is and thinks he's a chicken. It's a delightful book and a perfect starseed metaphor. This would be a great book for your starseed children as well as adults. Elise and William have been on a spiritual path that brought them together in 1996 and continues in their studies of metaphysics and quantum physics. Part of their story is about trees, which is also one of my passions, and their current endeavor to save a special forest from the hands of the greedy ignorant. They have two websites, wingsthejourneyhome.com, and they have a page for saving the forest at gofundme.com/protectLA's coastal forest. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News with Anastasia, bringing topics you won't hear in the mainstream. Right after the news, one of our past guests, Gloria Jaladian, is also going to stop by with a special gift for our listeners and to announce the release of her book, Beloved Forever. We'd like to thank Claudia and Fiona for hosting the switchboard this evening, and you can call with your questions or comments on 917-889-8292. We also have an online Starseed community at starseedhotline.ning.com. And special thanks go to Tammy for her dedication to the forum. Starseed Hotline's toll-free number is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. And if you have a birthday coming up, don't miss your 10 hours of power. Find out when it happens by requesting your solar return timing. So first this evening, I would like to introduce Anastasia and the Starseed News.
Well, good evening, everybody. Good evening, Arielle. Hello, Starseed listeners.
You had a great birthday.
Yeah, I had the most wonderful birthday ever.
Good.
It was perfect. Yes, thank you. And I want to thank all the beautiful listeners that sent me happy birthday wishes. You're all so wonderful. Been having a little email difficulty. I don't know. Maybe it's the complexity theory. So sometimes they don't come through as quickly as they do. And I think I'm a bit behind in answering. But thank all of you who remembered me and who've also been sending me good stuff. Bless you all. Well, I guess we better get into the news because tonight is going to be a great show. I checked out our guest websites and all looks great, and it's going to be wonderful to talk about those beautiful things and the good stuff that this couple is doing. But we're going to start out with our Starseed News tonight, talking about the sun and the moon and the stars and all that. There is a sunspot of interest. It's rapidly emerging in the sun's southern hemisphere, and it does pose a threat for strong geoeffective explosions. It's AR2242, and it has a beta gamma delta magnetic field that harbors energy for, of course, X-class solar flares. Now, if an eruption occurs, it will almost certainly, they say, be Earth-directed as the sunspot crosses the center of the solar disk. NOAA forecasters estimate a 10% chance of X-class flares today and possibly into tomorrow. By the way, this space weather news that we get does come from spaceweather.com, and I do encourage you to go there and check that out. So I want to credit that wonderful website for keeping us all abreast of space news. Well, interstellar space is not as quiet as some researchers had expected. Since 2012, NASA's Distant Voyager 1 spacecraft has been gently buffeted by three tsunami waves. Gently buffeted, I wonder about that. But they say these waves, these cosmic waves, are caused by coronal mass ejections launched from the sun, and that propagates far beyond the edges of the solar system, and our little Distant Voyager 1 has been rocking to and fro in the magnetic winds of that event. And we have a Christmas comet coming. What do you know about that? Is there something under your Christmas tree that you could open right now? Yes, indeed there is, but you need a small telescope to see it. It's Comet Lovejoy C2014Q2. It was discovered just a few months ago by a guy named Terry Lovejoy in Australia. It's a green comet. They say it's brightening now to naked eye visibility as it moves into northern skies right now during this season. It's brightening faster than experts predicted, getting brighter and brighter, because originally this comet was supposed to reach naked eye visibility in January or February of next year. But they say it's crossing that threshold right now. And reports from the southern hemisphere put the brightness of the comet at a magnitude plus 6, which is pretty cool. That's similar to the dim stars that the human eye can see. And on the nights around Christmas, Comet Q2, as some are calling it, and I can see why, it's a little bit shorter, but it's going to glide just south of Sirius, the dog star. So if you know where that is in the sky, folks, keep an eye open for it. Real cool. New comet coming, a green one, just in time for Christmas. And every night, a network of all of NASA's all-sky cameras will scan the skies above the United States for fireballs. And they do this through automated software maintained by NASA's Meteor Environmental Office, calculates the orbits, the velocity, the penetration in the Earth's atmosphere, and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, today's fireball count was 208. That's quite a few fireballs. And there have been some major fireball sightings going on around the world. So that's what's going on in space, and let's turn our attention now to the planet. Let's talk about Hawaii. Lava from a volcano on Hawaii's Big Island is on course to reach a shopping center with a gas station and a supermarket in just a few days, probably 7 to 10 days. Officials have said this. Well, lava is about 1 mile from the shopping center in the small town of Pahoa, Hawaii. Gosh, that sounds nice, Pahoa, Hawaii. But they say there's still a great deal of uncertainty about when the lava might reach the center and what it could hit once it gets there. They say the lava could smother just one structure or cover everything. Now, lava has never hit a gas station on the Big Island in the past, but it's been threatening Pahoa, which has a population of about 900 people, for a number of months now. In October, it did burn down a house and covered part of a cemetery, but it did stall just before hitting the main road. So we have some volcanic activity approaching some residents there in Hawaii. And a new study has discovered that the California drought is the worst in 1,200 years. That's 1,200 years. The last 3 years of drought, they say, were the most severe that California has experienced in that length of time, and this was brought forward by a new study which was published on Thursday. The study provides the state with breathtaking new historical context for its low reservoirs and sinking water tables, as we've talked a lot about here on the Starseed News. And even though California has had a really good soaking, as I'm sure you've heard on mainstream news, it's not enough to offset the drought. Well, what they've done is they've analyzed tree rings that date back to 800 AD. Imagine that. This is a time when Vikings were marauding Europe and the Chinese were inventing gunpowder. Well, in that amount of time, there's been no 3-year period when California's rainfall has been as low and its temperatures as hot as they have been from 2012 to 2014, according to the new research. Well, in the news, there have just been an exceeding number of reports about very bizarre animal behavior. So I'm going to share that some of that with you today because it's becoming so prominent. I think you probably should know about it. This is part of what I consider to be the bizarre energies, the strange things going on the planet. Talk about high strangeness and a world out of balance. Let's talk about that for a little bit. In Australia, dog attacks have soared 48% in just 12 months, with nearly 50 people and more than 200 animals have been harmed from this. The latest statistics from the North Southwest Division of Local Government in Australia, actually, it's in Wollongong, Australia, say that there were 237 dog attacks in that part of Australia from April 2013 to March of this year, compared to just over 100 or 150 the same period a year earlier. And in Arizona, more Arizonans are being hospitalized for severe dog bites, especially children, according to a study by the state health department there. Newly released Arizona hospital data show severe dog bites increased dramatically in recent years, especially among children, confirming until now what has been largely suspicions by people that this has been on the increase. So not only has it rumored, but it has actually been proven to be so. The Arizona Department of Health released Thursday study information that says that the number of inpatient hospitalizations, meaning that the bite, of course, was severe enough to warrant at least one overnight stay in the hospital, increased 139% from 2008 to 2012. Now, these are only two stories, but I tell you, they are going on everywhere. And if you have a dog or you are around a dog that is prone to be normally aggressive, be aware of this. Animals are behaving in very strange ways, as in a water buffalo that tore through a small southeastern Chinese town. It was in a mad rampage. Now, water buffaloes normally don't do this, but it chased down pedestrians. It injured 14 bystanders, and the animal actually chased a woman riding a bicycle, knocked her off the bike, and trampled her over and over again. And this is just going on everywhere. Now, lately in the news, there's been a streak of this in the last week or so, cows attacking farmers. And I'm not talking one or two stories. I'm talking six or seven or eight stories going on like this. And it's not just cows and dogs and water buffaloes. It's elephants. It's giraffes. It's possums. It's every kind of animal, wild animal and otherwise, that you would think that would not be attacking people is attacking people. So, world out of balance. It reminded me of that, and I don't mean to be funny, but really it made me think of the line out of Ghostbusters where that one guy was telling the other one, he said, dogs and cats sleeping together, the apocalypse, dogs and cats sleeping together. Do you remember that line, Ariel? It's a pretty old movie, so if you do, I'm not surprised that you don't remember it. But I thought it was particularly amusing at the time. But these animal attacks are really indicative of probably, if nothing else, magnetic disturbances on the planet, as well as the increasing numbers of Arctic birds and birds out of their normal habitat that are appearing in places that they shouldn't. This is another indicator of what's going on out there is really disturbing nature. Okay, well, speaking of nature, perhaps you've heard about this, maybe you haven't. This comes from RT News. They say that fishermen and the environment of the Niger Delta continue to suffer the consequences of a massive shale oil spill in the Niger Delta, and it's one of the worst in many years. Now, the oil giant Shell Company says that 1,200 barrels had been recovered as of Tuesday. Now, traveling into the affected areas of the Niger Delta in Nigeria, Reuters, which I guess is where they got their story from, witnessed the devastation in the delta covering 20,000 kilometers within the wetlands, and they say that crude oil is everywhere, and enough in some cases to people can just, fill it with oil, just scoop it up by the buckets. And they say the spill occurred 7 to 8 nautical miles from the shore, so they say it's just thousands and thousands of barrels. And according to Shell Oil, well, they say that the spill was caused by a failed crude theft. They say that somebody tried to steal the oil they bungled it, and this led to the oil spill. Well, area residents are complaining on social media about a strange smell that stretches from Pace to Gulf Breeze and the beaches in Florida. Local officials can't confirm what the smell is or where it's coming from. Residents of Santa Rosa, Florida, have described the stench as smelling like dead fish or spoiled milk. They're tweeting about it all over Twitter, saying things like, "Why does it smell of rotten fish all over Pensacola this morning?" Nobody knows what the smell is or where it's coming from. And also, in another area of Florida, Bayonet Point and Beacon Woods, it's a golf course community called Beacon Woods. Residents are beginning to be driven indoors by this very stubborn smell. There is a smell that they say is like, well, manure and rotting food, and nobody knows what it is or where it's coming from. The smell began the day after Tropical Storm Andrea blew through about a couple of weeks ago, but officials say they don't know what it is, and nobody seems to know what it is. But neighbors are worried because they think they might be inhaling something that isn't good for them. So two places in Florida. If you live in Florida and you've had that experience, if you live near there, I'd like to hear from you. And about the climate. According to 30 leading scientists, the Earth is about to begin a steep drop in global temperatures off its present global temperature plateau. Now, they say this plateau has been caused by the absence of growth in global temperatures for 18 years, the start of global cooling in the atmosphere and the oceans, and the end of a short period of moderate solar heating from an unusually active secondary peak in solar cycle number 24. Now, average global atmospheric and oceanic temperatures will drop significantly, they say, beginning between 2015 and 2016, and will continue with only temporary reversals until they stabilize during a long cold temperature base lasting most of the 2030s and the 2040s. And they say the bottom of the next global cold climate caused by solar hibernation is expected to be reached by the year 2031. These scientists have predicted that temperature decline will continue for the next 15 years and will likely be the steepest ever recorded in human history, discounting past short-duration volcanic events. So, global warming? Some people say not. Okay, about the ocean. Do you know that more than 5 trillion pieces of plastic, collectively weighing nearly 269,000 tons, are floating in the world's oceans? Well, they say it's causing damage throughout the food chain, and this has been reported by brand new research. They say the volume of plastic pieces, which are largely derived from products such as food and drink packaging and clothing, was calculated from data taken from 24 expeditions over a 6-year period ending last year, 2013. Now, this research was published in the journal PLOS ONE, and they say it's the first study to look at plastics of all sizes in the world's oceans. Well, I read that, and I thought, I don't think I'm just going to get any more plastic bottles.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about the atmosphere for a second. The U.S. has experienced fewer tornadoes in the past 3 years than any similar span since accurate records began in the 1950s. Meteorologists have no idea why, but this is the quietest 3 years on record for United States twisters. They say as the year comes to a close, about 150 fewer tornadoes than average have hit the United States. And so far this year, just 348 EF1 or stronger tornadoes have touched down across the country. Again, making this the third lowest number on record. So, if you live in our part of the country, that's kind of some good news. And when I read this, I got to thinking, you know, that's right. I live kind of in Tornado Alley, and there just hasn't been that much action as there have been in previous years. So definitely we're experiencing some atmospheric changes and some earth changes going on all around us. It's a great and interesting time to be alive. And for our quote of the week, oh, I thought this was good. This made me think of Lavendar. because she says that reality, that the truth doesn't lie, only people do. Well, according to Mr. Universe, he said, there is no news, there is only the truth of the signal. That's a pretty cool quote. Well, tune in next week. I want to talk to you all again next week. We have more Starseed news, and we're approaching the holiday season. I hope you're all taking it easy, that you're being mellow, that you're finding inner joy, because from my heart to yours, I want to say may peace be with you until next week. And I'm looking forward to tonight's show, Ariel. It's going to be a great one.
Yes, I am myself. And I want to thank you for the Starseed news and some good points to ponder there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Anastasia. And right now, just before we bring Elise and William on, we have a little visit from Gloria Geladian, who has been a guest on our show before. She does amazing artwork. So let me get your mic open here. And I think Lavendar has a few questions for you. So, okay. Welcome to the show, Gloria.
Hello, Glamour Girls.
Hello. So good to hear you again.
Oh, it's good to be with you.
So,
Lavendar,
I think
you're here, Gloria. And thank you so much for sending me your book. And what motivated you to write Beloved Forever? Give us a little rundown on how you decided to write about this particular subject.
Well, Beloved Forever, in loving memory, it's a journal of remembrance. And I had lost I'd lost six of the closest people in my life within about a year and a half. And it was so devastating. You know, we have acquaintances that pass away and we deal with it. But when you visit with someone every week for 64 years and they're gone, it your whole life changes. So it was so difficult in dealing with it. So about it. And in writing that, and then several of my other friends were going through the same thing, and I said, I'm going to write a journal. We all need to write our memoirs. It's a wonderful way to heal through our writing, and it really works. And one of my friends, her husband passed away a year and a half ago, and she went back and read what she wrote a year and a half ago, and she could see her progress and how her healing journey evolved. So my hope is that this Beloved Forever in loving memory, that people will get it and write their memoirs, and it will help them in their journey into healing.
Okay, so, you know, I lost three people this year, so I know what you're saying. They all happened within 3 months, and it's like, you know, my friend Belva, you know, we talked all the time for over 30 years, and when I wasn't able to pick up the phone and call her and tell her the latest Thai strangeness, you know, it was really devastating for me not to be able to speak to her.
So I understand.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. So tell us more about your particular time with doing this. Give us some, can you read some things out of the book for us?
Oh, I would love to. You know, it's 170 pages, and it's a writing journal, but I've chosen about 30 quotes that will inspire people to remember their stories of their loved ones. So here's one of Thomas More. Here, bring your wounded hearts. Here, tell your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Isn't that beautiful?
It's beautiful.
And Rumi. We love Rumi. Thankfulness brings you to the place where the beloved lives. You know, it's all one.
Yeah.
Rumi is so deep. He is just awesome. Of course, we
all love
Rumi. And this one I loved, Henry David Thoreau, because, you know, as light workers, when we meet other light workers, there is such a bond, true friendship. That type of friendship just makes the soul happy. But this one by Henry David Thoreau, I absolutely loved it. It says, friends, they cherish one another's hopes. They are kind to one another's dreams.
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
And you know, in the book, years ago, I got a couple letters from Mother Teresa. which I had on my website for a while. Everybody just loved reading her letters so much. So I figured, well, I'm going to put her letter and her picture in my book because so many of us love her, and she has inspired us in so many ways in our lifetime. And I'll read you two quotes from Mother Teresa. In one of the letters she wrote to me, she says, "Keep the joy of loving God in one another and share this joy with others. God bless you, Mother Teresa."
Well, did you ever meet her in person?
No, she's come to me in spirit quite a bit.
Yeah, okay.
And which is pure joy. I mean, when people like that come to visit us, it's just total bliss. And then in the typical Mother Teresa style, I've got one of her quotes. Because she just knew how to get things done, you know. Someone asked her one day, "Mother, when you stand and see a sea of people that need help, what do you do?" She says, "I kneel down and I start helping the one closest to me." I mean, that is just so typical. But
yeah.
Anyway, here's a wonderful quote from Mother Teresa. She said, "Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin."
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
And, you know, so many people who lose someone, Lavender, they just have a hard time bouncing back, you know. And that's why, whether it's writing our memoirs or giving people the time of day to just let someone talk. You know, most people fear death, so they really can't comfort another when someone loses someone that's really close.
Right.
And so many people who lose someone say, "How come nobody's coming and comforting me?" You know? And,
well,
and
I noticed that you have listed here, "Beloved Forever" on Amazon.com this month in December. And if they buy this book, then you'll give them a free 15-minute writing session over the telephone.
Yes.
So let's give your email address and your website.
My website is jeladianart.com. It's www.jeladianart.com. And they can send me an email from my website, which is gloria@jeladianart.com.
Okay.
And it's just to encourage people and listen and just, you know, help them get started. And it's just my way of giving, you know, to people who just want to share their story.
You know, I started reading your other book that you wrote, Hot and Harry.
Oh, yeah.
that's a very, very funny book, and I would encourage the readers to pick it up off of your website. It's really a good story.
Thank you for saying that, Lavendar. It was. I just loved writing that book. I was a hairdresser in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and it was a fun, wild time. Now, people will be surprised when they go to my website because I'm also an automotive artist now. That's my latest thing. You know how artists are. We just go from, we just accomplish one thing and then we start the next one, the next journey.
Well, you certainly are talented, and it certainly shows in everything that you've done. So
I'm so happy
that you've been able to share this information with us. So for those of you that want to have a free writing session and want to pick up this book, be sure and contact Gloria. So Gloria, thank you so much for taking the time to share In Loving Memory, A Journal of Remembrance, Beloved Forever, with us.
Oh, thank you all so much, and have a wonderful holiday, everybody.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays, Gloria. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That's great. You know, that's one of the hardest things that we have to deal with in life is the loss of a loved one, two-legged or four-legged. So we are now going to bring Elise and William on the line. And just a second here, let me get your mic open.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ariel. After so long, we've been listening to, actually, when we first discovered y'all a few years ago, we went back through the archives and listened to just about every single show. So this feels like family.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know that we've been having email contact for a couple of years. And hello, William.
Hi, RL. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's nice to meet you on in person on the radio anyway.
Absolutely. It feels great.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that you have such a convergence of fire signs over there with Lavendar and Anastasia both being Sages, and you're the Aries. I'm Sag with Aries rising. So
we have a lot of fire here. A lot of fire. Yeah. So Lavendar has read your book. So Lavendar, I'm going to let you start off.
Well, hello, Elizabeth and William. So I'm down to the last, I guess I like about probably 20 pages to go. But I want you to know this book that you sent me called Wings, The Journey Home. Such a delight. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to ask you first, how did the two of you meet?
It's funny. I was 9 years old, I think, when I was feeling very misunderstood. I think a lot of Starseeds can relate to that. I remember crying and running outside and looking up at the stars and just saying, where are you? And ironically or not, William is 9 years younger than I am. He said, okay, I'm coming in. But it wasn't until I was in my 30s. And after a marriage and divorce, and I was driving south on the 405 freeway, I'm not normally clairaudient, but I very clearly heard, you will meet him tonight. And I went to the LifeSpring office in Santa Monica. I was there to support a friend who was taking on another team, being the leader for another team. And he was taking me around the room and introducing us, me to everyone, and in front of William, he stopped, and I swear Yenta possessed him. By the way, happy Hanukkah, everyone.
Yes.
But he suddenly said, wait, you're single, and you're single. And Lavendar is like those Terminator movies where you see the readout and all the data is going across the screen. My ego did such an instant number on myself that my first words to him were, how old are you? And he said he was 27, I was 36 at the time, and I said, you're very cute, you're very young, I'm not available, but it's nice to meet you.
Oh, great.
He visibly shrugged.
Well, yeah, I did shrug, but I was very disappointed because there definitely was a spark, but I had somewhere I had to be, so I immediately took off out the door, and interestingly enough, we ran into each other that same night, three hours later in downtown Los Angeles at an Italian restaurant.
Clearly, our guides were not done with us. Our guides, actually, I joke, but I really think it's true. Our guides are best of friends, and they just wanted to hang out more often.
Well, also interesting is that we bonded over the topic of astrology.
Yeah, he has... he has Venus in Sag, and I'm a Sag, and I have Mars in Scorpio, and he's Scorpio. So that sparked my interest for sure.
So how many years have you been together now?
That was 1996. 18 years.
Yep.
Yeah, we got married in 2000 on April Fool's Day, April 1st. We love the Fool in the tarot, and it just is funny. We could talk for hours, and I know we don't have hours here, but it doesn't feel like it's been 18 years.
Even though she's 9 years older than I am, she keeps me young.
Yeah, well, his Saturn's sitting on my ascendant, so you for the savvy astrologers, you'll know what that looks like.
Yeah,
he's like my father. Yeah, well, he's my bodyguard. He walks like 5 feet behind me and keeps watch on me, and he's
you know, he's very protective.
Well, you sent me a list of questions, and I'm very curious about this question. You said, what was your white rabbit that started you down the rabbit hole?
Okay, I'll do that quickly, because that, well, I was 12. When my father was given 6 months to live, he was diagnosed with lymphoma, and we immediately launched into the journey of Dad's healing, which included both allopathic, traditional, and alternative, which included visits to Glendale's Psychic Healing Center, and we learned to meditate and laying on of hands and, you know, all aspects of healing. And so that was quite the coming of age for me. And Dad was amazing. He considered himself to be Buddhist because no one ever shed blood in the name of Buddha. And he would meditate, and he would have been very happy in a nudist colony in the South Pacific. That probably shouldn't have been said on the air, but oh well. But he would meditate, you know, and he didn't walk around the house naked, I'm just saying. But he would have the sheets covering him, and where the sheets weren't covering him, he would get a sunburn. He was amazing. He channeled a 5,000-year-old Chinese monk in our living room. This was all in the 70s, and he was my mentor and my guru, really. So happily, given that he was given the 6 months to live, the doctor said after a few months, Dave, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. You're not dying of this. And so he really gave a huge demonstration to my family that there's much more to life than what meets the eye. And he was around for my 18th birthday to hire the astrologer that did my chart then, that started me on the path of astrology. And that was the only other reading that I've had aside from the reading I had with you, Lavendar. And I have to tell you, you have such an amazing, empowering way. I was so uplifted and really honestly felt like I can do anything after my reading with you. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You know, when I look at a person's chart and they have as many masterships as you had in your chart, you know, I'd be amiss if I didn't tell you, you know, the things that you have so strong that you've had in other lifetimes. And I do believe that if you've done them before in other lifetimes, you can certainly activate them and do them again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's what I tried to inspire in you, is to reach down in that, you know, zip that credit card of your soul and say, you, come here, I need you now. I say that a lot to my clients, because the phrase that ignites them into understanding that their cosmic bank account can be accessed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I keep remembering that whenever I feel a moment of, okay, this is new territory, I remember you saying that, and I'm like, okay, I'm accessing, you know, if I did know how to say this or do this, what would that look like? And so it's a great game.
Yeah, good.
But I know William definitely has some things to share about.
Well, I don't know if I had a, you know, white rabbit per se. I was raised in a very strict Catholic household. Both my parents are Taurus, and you know, there's always a right way to do things, a wrong way to do things. You know, you go to church every weekend or it's a mortal sin. And you know, into my teens, I'd miss a mass here and there, and you know, I was an altar boy, and I had no problem with that whole thing. But just having to lie to my parents that I actually went to church when I didn't, it just felt like, you know, a child shouldn't have to lie to their parents. It just felt like very dishonest. And so I started pursuing on my own different ways of viewing the world, and, you know, astrology was one of them, and other religions. And it just kind of opened up a door once I was able to really break free. Catholicism, it really opened the door for me. And so I'm fortunate that my parents aren't regular Starseed listeners, Starseed radio listeners, but they wouldn't be too happy with what I just said. But it really led me to LifeSpring and Elise, and it's been a great ride. Although I did have an experience that keeps popping in my head. When I was an infant in my crib, I was visited by a 6-inch glowing blue figure on the edge of my crib, and I always thought it was a dream up until several years ago. I read this book, Alien Impact, and they talk about a little blue man that visits infants in their crib. So I don't know if they've been there this whole time, you know, guiding me or what, but I definitely felt like I've been guided.
Oh, I'm sure that you have. Now, whose idea was it to write Wings, The Journey Home? Who came up with the idea first?
Huh, that's a great question. It was so simultaneous. We were on a trip to Palm Springs, our first road trip, and I had been writing a book about a fallen, you know, an angel who had, you know, fell in love with a mortal. It's not I don't know how original a story it was, but I was playing, you know, getting into that, and you know, this kind of clipped wing was with me, and William is very creative. We have a stellium in our composite fifth house, so creativity is definitely up for both of us. And I didn't know. He said, well, that's good, but what about an eagle?
Yeah, the story of an eagle thinking it's a chicken, I could relate to it definitely, and I know Elise can. And it just resonated with both of us, and we wanted to tailor a story directed to children where they could read it at a key point in their lives, like adolescence, and they're going through changes. They're no longer a child, but they're not an adult, and just lessons that we've learned throughout our lives and reading and in LifeSpring that would empower them. And, you know, like the law of attraction and the power of now and compassion and confidence and all those things, but in a way that was fun, entertaining, and it would sink in with them, adults alike, but especially children.
It's so symbolic of, it's really a metaphor for the human condition, because we're all, in a sense, we're all grounded eagles who have forgotten. None of us really got that manual when we were born. And, you know, so we really had fun with the thought of it. You know, what would, if an eagle did, actually forget, what would that look like? And what adventures could he have? And, you know, what would his parents do when they realized that, you know, our son on his first flight is not, you know, not with us. And so it was interesting, you know, and fun process with us. We must have edited 50 times. We'd take trips up to wine country and I would read, and we would, you know, just continue to massage it. And
exactly. Fun process. Thank you to all our friends listening out there who helped us edit it.
Yeah,
we hired someone to edit it, our good friend Holly May and Nikki and Catherine, and it was really a labor of love, and we just tried to incorporate as many lessons in there, peer pressure and conformity and energy harvesting, you know, bullying, and in a way that it didn't seem like it was preaching, but it was people could relate to it, you know, the matrix that we live in, and breaking free, and being true to ourselves, really loving, embracing who we are, as, you know, starseed or not, but just a universal story that everyone could identify with and relate to.
Yeah, we all have such limiting beliefs. I think it's just inherent with the society that we're in, and I think I want to believe it was by all of our agreement to participate in this sometimes not so fun paradigm. It is fun once you start to learn that, oh, wait a minute, I can get outside the box. But so many of us are walking around in these limiting beliefs. And so we definitely did our best to weave those themes throughout this book so people could envision stepping outside their mental constructs and truly own their power.
The thing that I loved about how you started the story was that the mother eagle was taking her babies out for their first little flight, and then a storm came, and then one of them, Benjamin, he got lost. And then when he hurt his wing, he hit his head, then he had amnesia. That was the cool part of the story, was he couldn't remember who he was. And then he landed in this Farmer Brown's farm and ended up with these chickens. And the chickens thought he looked awful strange, and like a chicken they've never seen before, but they convinced him he was a chicken. So I just thought it was very comical the way that he just accepted the fact, since he couldn't remember who he was, that he said, yeah, I guess I must be a chicken.
Yeah. He had his chicken training and, Yeah, exactly. We appreciate your feedback, Lavinar, because that was definitely our intention, to be amusing and fun, and but also there's some angst in there. I don't know if you've gotten to that part yet. The egg stealer.
She's probably there.
Egg stealers protecting the eggs. That was a cute story. And Candor was he was the wise being that was someone that we think of as psychic and, you know, looking into the future. So he was always on hand for helping to guide Ben and to also guide the parents. He would go to the parents and say, oh, your little eaglet is fine. We know where he is. And then the owls would show up. And then there was the worm that turned into a butterfly. Mm-hmm. All kinds of characters that you wrote about could actually be people in today's society. It's just a very good read. I have like 20 pages left, and I was trying to get it done before the call, but it didn't work out that way. But I love this book. And, you know, it ought to be a little cartoon. It should be a little movie.
Well, thank you, Wes. You know, when I started writing it, well, as we were coming up with this, bouncing it around, William kept, because he's a prolific artist. He's a fine artist. He paints. But he kept wanting to spark me to, you know, write it. So he's like, no, it's your book. So as I was writing it, then he was the editor, I kept seeing it so visually. So, yeah, that is the next goal. That is our next goal. One of our next is feature film, animated film.
Well,
I can see it as a musical.
We want to help support that. When funds come that we can share to help you go forward to hire a screenwriter, I would certainly be willing to put one of your projects in our basket. Absolutely.
Well, we definitely appreciate that, Lavinar. And it's interesting because, like you, other friends that have read it, it's one of the first things that comes out of their mouths is this is an animated film. And so what we've done is we're on a second draft of a screenplay, but we would definitely hire a professional screenwriter, but we want to go through the process ourselves so that we can kind of see how that process works. And so when we are in conversation, we can be a little more experienced about going through it. So we appreciate that feedback immensely.
Yeah, we envision team wings.
Yeah.
Team wings. Some, you know, it's a fun, you know, I've worked with animators before, and they are cool people. They're fun.
I want to run this by Craig Campobasso, you know, our film guy in California. So maybe you should send him a copy of this book, and I'll email you with his information so that you can get a book to him, because I think maybe he might be the person to really steer this in the right direction. He has a lot of contacts that you will need.
That'd be wonderful.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah, we definitely see it as a collaboration of artists and musicians and writers. We want it to be a Team Wings group that can really feel inspired and get behind something bigger than ourselves that everyone can relate to. Yeah, I see myself in Benjamin. That's me. I can do that. And so thank you very much, Lavinar. We appreciate any guidance that we can get.
The other question you have here is, how are you currently living the lessons that you impart in Wings?
Okay, well, we were doing our best to create a segue into what's going on with us right now. And it actually, you know, it's funny, living with your soulmate. I love what Marianne Williamson says about that God's like a supercomputer in the sky. Let's take this person and this person and put them together for maximal learning. And we think, oh, that'll feel so good. Well, not necessarily all the time, but it's amazing. We have found ourselves living in this beautiful urban sanctuary here in Mariners Village in Marina Del Rey, and it's amazing. There are over 1,000 trees and great blue herons nest here, and it's beautiful and it's paradise. But we've also been feeling sort of the tug that maybe being in LA isn't necessarily the best place to be in the future. And so we've just been kind of listening to that. And we received, a year ago, we received a notice that the county, this is county land, and the developers or the lessees, that there are renovation plans. And our first thought was, well, it's a sign. It's time for us to move on. And then we read further and realized that those renovation plans involve removal of all foliage, including all of the trees. And so we immediately snapped back. Our purpose and our mission was just so in our faces at that moment. And we aren't going anywhere, at least not for a little while, until, you know, this hopefully is resolved. And happily, we've met some amazing people. Our friends, our neighbors have banded together, and we've, you know, reached across the street into the peninsula, and there's some beautiful people over there that would be impacted too. And everybody loves the herons, most everyone. People that live below them, not so much, but it's been an amazing year. We've gotten very, very active. And
well, ironically, you know, what we often think is the worst news ever is really that call to action that, you know, we need to find our voices and get involved. And you know, I've been writing letters to the local paper, the Argonaut, and Elise has been attending Coastal Commission meetings with several other women, and they call themselves
the PowerPoint Posse.
PowerPoint Posse, exactly. And like Elise said, we've grouped together with people that have like minds and hearts. And so even though there's a fear for a lot of the residents here that there might be some backlash with the lessees and they don't want to be public about it, we feel like our part in this is to be more vocal. We partnered with Marianne Williamson when she was campaigning for Congress, and we've been out there. We put ourselves out there, and because it's a big, like I said, it's a big picture. It's a microcosm of what's going on globally, and where these people with money and influence think they can just, you know, do whatever they want. And it takes us to, it takes a village to save Mariners Village, right? And really get together and present a different vision that nature and harmony can actually live together, and we don't have to destroy, you know, for progress. You know, it's really, it's been an interesting last year, to say the least.
It's been amazing. And I think there's no accident that the neighbors are our neighbors who we are closest to, that we are all here at this point. And I keep saying this kind of feels like French Revolution, or, you know, I mean, other times in history where people just stood up and said, enough. We're this is not okay. It's there are 5 county supervisors for all of the LA County. Each one of them controls more wealth than some small countries. They literally call themselves king and queen behind closed doors, and sometimes not behind closed doors. And they have forgotten that they are hired public servants that we voted into office. And so much historically, they've just done whatever they wanted in development, and especially here in the Marina. And now this sleeping giant has awakened, because these trees, there used to be other trees where the great blue herons could nest, but they're all gone. This is literally the last stand of trees for them. And so, you know, the time is now.
Ariel, are you there? Hello? Ariel?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Ariel, because the two of you have something to talk about, because the next subject matter is called the Avatar Tree. So, Elise, or Elizabeth, however you want to be called, I feel like that you and Ariel should talk about this particular thing because of her history with her Java plum tree, that she went through an experience very much like yours. So
yeah.
Go ahead, and Ariel, and you talk to them about the Avatar Tree.
All right. Thank
okay,
you.
Well, I saw the pictures that you sent, so why don't you explain to the audience what you call the Avatar Tree?
Okay, well, it was, it was October 7th in the morning when I received this flurry of emails. People kept talking about this tree that was being cut down. The chainsaws had come, and I called William. I knew he was close by, and I said, honey, please go and try and figure out which pool and which tree this is. And he called me back, and he was beside himself. He was witnessing the massacre. And I said, well, what tree was it? And he said, it's the one you hugged a year ago. I don't know, we went for a walk, and while I love all the trees in the complex, there's only one in this complex that I felt so moved to go and be with, and it was just gorgeous, gorgeous laurel fig ficus tree, and it was just, anyway. So William was me, he thought, oh, she's having a moment, and he started taking pictures. Well, anyway, that evening, I received another email from one of our residents, and he said, this morning, when I went to work, it was there, this is what's left. And it was just nothing, and they had tried to put some plant there to make it look like it had always just been a weird plant there. Anyway, that was definitely a tipping point for us in the complex, and we called the Council of the Trees that following Saturday. And Ariel, I mean, I bought your album a year ago, I think, and I love your songs, but Mother Nature's Crying is so perfect for what we're going through. And so I played it at the beginning of we passed around a talking stick, and everyone got to share what they, you know, what was going on for them. And so it just created this beautiful context. We have called this tree the Avatar Tree. We have now, you know, with our community, several of us have gotten together and created the Lorax Project, where we will be naming all of the trees, and we'll be able to adopt out the trees. And there are some trees, some of the great blue heron trees, that I think more than one person might want to, you know, have a stake in that tree. So we'll have godparents for some of the trees. And we're really having fun with this. And William, he was so moved that the next night after all that, he came home from work. And
yeah, I've never been emotional over a tree. I've gotten angry over trees being cut down, but this time I was in the shower and I just broke down. I couldn't believe it. That particular tree, it's a central tree in the middle of a public area. It was a beautiful ficus with these white branches and grooves. And it just felt like they chose that tree specifically to, you know, like the scene from Braveheart, I was just thinking about when Braveheart's wife was killed. Just as a sign to us to show us who's in charge, and it really has rallied people to a point where they're done with it. They've cut down other trees before, but this particular one was just so magnificent. I mean, we have 40, 50-year-old trees here, pines and eucalyptus and ficus, and all of, and it's just love for you to come visit. I mean, it's an amazing place. We're just trying to preserve. Even though when they renovate, we have to move, we'd love this place to stay for future, you know, generations.
Yeah, that's, you know, we know ultimately that they'll renovate. We know they will, and we'll definitely be priced out. We're, you know, we're living month to month at this point. We're artists. But we want our legacy to know that these trees were saved. And so I just thank you so much for the opportunity to share this, Ariel and Lavendar.
Thank you very much, Ariel and Lavendar. This has been a treat.
Well, I can so relate to what you're saying, because when I went through this with my special tree, I went and got a book that was kind of a Native American interpretation of the what they call the standing people. And trees have consciousness, they have wisdom, they have gifts for us, and the disregard that is being flaunted by by the dark energies, it has to stop, and it's going to take people like you and us and other like-minded people who do live in harmony with nature. It's going to take everyone in a combined collective effort. And the website that you have a page on called GoFundMe / Protect LA's Coastal Forest, really encourage everyone to go check that out and see what you can do, because if everyone does just a little bit, the combined effect of that energy will be much greater than the sum of all the little parts that came together. And we have, collectively, we have so much more power than the dark, that we can do this. And the message of the trees, the importance of the trees, and to me, it's the most, I mean, of all the causes that are certainly worthy causes, I think the top of the list is protecting the trees, because without the trees, we won't have the atmosphere. So that's really got to be the first one.
Yes.
And
exactly.
At this point, I have I've got Mother Nature's Crying queued up and ready to go. Okay. So I think it would be a good idea for everyone to just kind of sit back, close your eyes, and listen to a story that came, a song that came, actually as the chainsaws were taking my tree down. I mean, I was hysterical. William, I know exactly what you were feeling. And the words just flowed, because right before the chainsaw started, I demanded 5 more minutes with my tree. And I went over to her, I put my arms around her, and I was sobbing and apologizing, and I felt the energy of the tree pass right into my body. And when I went in the house, I'm sure this song came from the Java Plum to benefit all of the trees and to help the people reconnect. So with that, this is Mother Nature's Crying.
There are things. Away. They give so much and ask nothing in return. And God gave them to Mother Nature. He said, take care of these. All they need is earth, some rain and light, a and shade you from the burning sun. They'll give you food and shelter for free. That's why Mother Nature's crying when she sees her trees are dying at the hands of man. Too ignorant to see. If you bite the hands that feed you, those loving hands that need you, you pay the highest price, believe me, when you're through. So if you live on Mother and take from her the best, you must return tenfold to her, or we'll be laid to rest. Without her trees we'll lose the air. How can you say you don't care? 'Cause your family tree will surely be among the ones to die. That's why Mother Nature's crying when she sees her trees are dying at the hands of man. Too ignorant to see. No more to give, you pay the highest price, believe me, when you're through. Mother Nature cries, please, please. My trees, oh please, you can't live without trees. I'm begging you, please, you've got to help me.
That song goes to all of the trees and all of the people that need each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, Ariel.
You are
so
welcome. And I would mention that that song, you can download it for free if you go to my page on Starseed Hotline. And just kind of look in the lower right-hand corner there. There's links to some music. So with that, we do have... a caller on the switchboard that wants to talk to you.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes. So let me just get the microphone open. Hello, Nikki.
Hi.
Nikki.
Hey, Nikki.
Our spicy meatball. This woman, I have to tell a story really quickly. This is a powerful woman. She had, you know, she was saying, oh, my gosh, there are too many people, L.A., it's, you know, and it's, L.A. is wonderful, but there are a lot of people. And another friend of ours, Catherine Peterson, coined the phrase, it sounds like she pushed the eject button. Nikki, within 10 days, was moved out, and she's now living in Boise, Idaho. Nikki!
Wow.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Nikki.
You guys are hilarious and so awesome, and I love your book, and everybody in the world should buy it, and everybody in the world should be friends with you.
We need you to go parade, honey.
We miss you, too.
Yeah, Nikki is one of our closest dear friends, and we just had that instant of the Starseed connection or what it is, but we just are inseparable. Even though we live in different states now, we stay in touch, and we have so much in common, and she loves aliens, and people who don't follow that route, we don't quite understand, but she just keeps sharing her wisdom and her knowledge, and people love her, you know, and we're definitely two of those people. So thanks for calling. Nikki, do you want to say anything else?
Tell us about your tattoo.
Oh boy, UFO stuff. Well, I like aliens, and apparently they like me too. But that's kind of how Elise and William and I met, actually. It was about probably, 6 or 7, maybe even 8 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. And we all had a common interest in the paranormal and spirituality, so forth and so on. And it kind of pivoted me forward into more research and became pretty intrigued with it all, and decided to get a tattoo that comes from a fresco in Vasaki Dakani. It's an old monastery, and it's above an altar. It's a fresco above the altar of an ancient alien flying in a spacecraft. And I got it on my arm because I think it's a really powerful image and definitely represents my belief system. But as far as Elise and William go, get back to that because that's the more important story right now. But they've always been the most amazing friends anyone could ask for, and who better, you know, who two people in the world to tell the story of Wings, The Journey Home, because it is the most beautiful book. I read it within, I don't even know, I bought it and it was done within, I think, an hour. Mm-hmm. It may be a little short, but it is not a little short, but it's a shorter book with tons of information, so much information, so much spiritual guidance. A great story that's entertaining for everyone, children, adults alike, doesn't matter what age you are. It's a beautiful message, and anyone would be blessed to own the book and to support you guys, especially on your venture in regards to the trees that they're attempting to cut down and take the habitat away from those precious animals, including the blue heron. So I support you 100% in that, and I hope that everybody else will too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki.
Nikki's a wonderful photographer, artist. I've often said there is nothing that Nikki does badly. I should say that a different way, with fewer negatives. She does everything
Sorry, William. Hey, Elise, lighting. Will you marry me? No, I'm just kidding.
Nikki
sings like an angel, but she's a wonderful
singer, photographer.
And she has some beautiful images of the heron from our balcony. And, you know.
Hey, Nikki, touch on Fatima really quick, your Fatima experience musical.
Well, it's funny, about maybe about around 2001 or so, I was just coming out of a rock and roll band and kind of went a different direction and started doing a show called The Miracle of Fatima. And it was the story of the Blessed Mother, and which I personally think is a divine being, most likely an alien, but she came down to three children, Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia, and gave a message of peace and hope and some warnings about humanity and that we were going in the wrong direction. And I was always intrigued by the story, and I'm also intrigued by antiques. So one day I was perusing an antique shop and came across an old 1951 issue of Life magazine, and I had just previously, the week before that, had actually auditioned for a show called The Miracle of Fatima. And when I went to the first get-together for rehearsals, I sat down and the director asked me to tell my story to everyone, and I did. And I included in that story was the Life magazine that I happened to open, and open straight to a page that was the story of the miracle of Fatima, which was really strange. So it was kind of serendipitous and definitely something I was supposed to do. But in relation to extraterrestrials, paranormal, UFOs, all those possibilities as to why we're actually here or how we got here, I think that in relation, I mean, people that create religions and believe in certain belief systems have this idea that there were some divine beings that came down at points in history and had something to say and some guidance and, you know, warnings on occasion about the direction humanity is going in. And that's what sparked more of my interest after I met Elise and William. We started talking about all the possibilities. And then I ended up joining a bunch of ufology groups and MUFON and all kinds of things, exploring the story, exploring the possibilities of, you know, what, who these people were, who these divine beings that came down were. And then we just, you know, we shared our ideas about a lot of ancient Sanskrit and cuneiform tablets about, you know, how we got here. It's the ultimate question everybody has and no one's ever got the answer to. So although it may be a spiritual journey, somebody put us here. So
there's, again, we could talk with Nikki forever too. She's just one of our favorite people. She was in the Air Force.
How many years were you in the Air Force, Nikki?
What's that?
How many years were you in the Air Force?
10.
10 years. Yeah, Nikki's done it all.
Funny,
we're blessed to have her in our life.
Nick, as you brought up MUFON, Ariel and Lavendar, I want to share with you. I mean, we know that there's a lot of synchronicity and connection here. But we also have another connection that you don't know about. We were at a MUFON event, and James Gilliland was speaking, and this was just before or just after we got married, but we hadn't quite figured out what our honeymoon would be. And as James was talking about the Aseti Ranch and his story, William leaned over to me and said, "Honeymoon." And so we drove up, and that was our honeymoon. We stayed with James on the ranch. It was May.
Yeah,
it was,
we saw
beautiful.
Some very, very interesting things. I recommend to everyone out there,
go,
please visit
go.
James Gilliland Ranch. It's amazing. Up in Washington, Salt Lake.
He is just such an amazing soul, too. He's just,
and didn't you guys experience, didn't you have an experience there too?
Yes, we saw all kinds of things in the air hovering over the Mount Adams. Anyone who has any doubts about aliens or the fact that we're not
go
alone
there.
Out there, please just go there and then talk to me.
Or hang out with William because he has little blue lights following him around.
Another
Oh my gosh, Nikki, you don't even know. I'm not sure where Ariel went, but this is great.
I'm right here.
I know you're here. This is awesome. We were rushing through. We thought we only had an hour, and clearly I forgot that there was more time. But I was taking a picture of William and a friend of ours the other day, and I saw in the screen, I saw an orb fly through, and as I snap the picture, it's captured in the picture. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, no, that was
amazing, and we hadn't shared that with you, Nikki, and I didn't even know that was possible, but it showed up. It was just on my iPhone, and I just, like, this light went through.
Orbs are a whole other conversation. We have a picture of Elise and my daughter and I standing at a restaurant with Elisa's dad's Purple Heart. And off to the upper left corner, we have the photo in our living room, is an orb, but it's more like a labyrinth, you know, within the orb. And it had to be your dad, right?
That's definitely an orb. That's absolutely an orb.
Yeah, exactly.
when it has those striations on the inside of it, it's definitely not dust.
No. This was definitely an ord. And then there's another one with Elise, my daughter, and a couple of our friends. A clear orb right in the middle. It's another labyrinth.
And some
pictures have dozens or even hundreds of these orbs in them. Like there's a group of a lot of people. At the SETI Ranch, definitely we have a lot of pictures of...
It looks like snow.
Yeah.
Well, right. I'm sure at the Starseed Quest, those pictures must be full of orbs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys have a lot of people looking after you on the other side and also on this side. So
I know. And a big shout out to Jade Minkin, who is the most amazing, such a beautiful Reiki master. She happily, she reached out to me for some astrology help, and we did a trade, and thank God, I didn't even think to look for Reiki, but she did a session with us last night and then stopped halfway through. William said, my guides told me to finish up this morning, and she sent a little, not little, a powerful blessing on this show, and I've been healing her with us. And
yes, thank you, Jade, if you're listening or if you hear the recording.
Love you, Jade.
Well, that's wonderful. That is just wonderful. And as far as the Starseed Crystal Quest, the pictures that do not have orbs are the weird ones.
Exactly.
That's funny.
Which we need to go to. We need to go to one of these Crystal Quests, definitely.
Well, you both have the markings, that's for sure. And... Yeah. Well, Nikki, we're so happy that you called in, and I know it was a nice surprise for Elise and William.
Yeah. Always a pleasure.
Thank you,
Nikki,
for having me.
Well,
miss you guys.
We love you too, honey. Merry Christmas, and we will see you
thank
soon.
You. Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night, Nikki.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Some people
well,
just
I
well on you.
Knew that that would be a nice surprise for you. So
thank
it
you,
is such a pleasure to have you with us. And if anyone has a question, you need to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. But I do want to just kind of wrap up for this evening and recap that your website is wingsthejourneyhome.com, and the page to help save the trees and the wild heron nests is at GoFundMe, that's GoFundMe.com/protectLAs, that's LAS without the apostrophe, Protect LA's Coastal Forest.
Yes, and just so I can add, just so people know and are aware that money goes to legal support to help us legally protect the trees.
Yes.
In this area, so we have every law and statute followed by the T, so that
a lot of moving parts.
Yeah,
with,
and these
with
county
government
officials
agencies.
Follow by the book, our rights and everything. So part of the problem is they've been trying to sneak things through, but what we're looking for is complete transparency, so that the county, all the residents who actually own this land, have a say if they choose to and express their concerns.
Well, and I do, I would love to, you know, I guess on a final note, say that work like this, living on Earth, certainly activism can be very polarizing. And I think, you know, every single human, everyone listening to this, everyone on the planet, has experienced this, where it seems like there's someone out there, an other, or, you know, someone that doesn't necessarily share the same viewpoint that we do. And quite often, those people are our greatest friends. And, you know, there perhaps was an agreement prior to this life that they would shine a light on something very important in our lives that... They agreed to remind us what was important. And so I like to call those people of there are partners in contrast, and you know, and so as difficult sometimes as it is when we notice that, oh my God, they cut all of the heron nests out last year, and the herons were screeching, trying to figure out where their nest had gone. Things like that, cutting down your beautiful Java plum, you know, are avatar tree, so heartbreaking. But I keep trying, doing my best to remember that they are human beings. They are playing their role. They love their children too. And we're all here to learn and grow.
Well, that's very well said, you know, and sometimes the greatest advances are born from extreme turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
I certainly understand that energetic. But it has been a pleasure having you both with us. And we
thank
do encourage
you.
Everyone to
what?
Pick up a copy of Wings, The Journey Home. And also, on behalf of Gloria Jaladian, also if you pick up a copy of her book, Beloved Forever, at jaladianart.com, she will give you a free 15-minute writing session. So thank you again.
Thank you so much, Star.
Before I wrap up, would you like to interject?
Interject? Well, let's see.
I was talking to Lavendar.
Oh, to Lavendar. Never mind.
Sorry.
I don't like to. I don't like to sign off without mm-hmm. having to put her 2 cents in. Lavendar.
I feel like that. That we're all in alignment with helping the environment and the trees, and I feel like that by doing this radio show tonight on this subject matter, that we are going far and wide with our signal, and hopefully others will pick up the gauntlet and run with it like we are doing. So we're asking those to come forward and contribute or be mindful of the trees on the planet, because once they're gone, then we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a priority. Trees are a priority.
They do so much for us, and I like to see them as our teachers. I mean, they're like our opposites. You know, we breathe oxygen, they give oxygen. You know, we exhale carbon dioxide, they take it in. We eat food, they make food. You know, we're always moving around, busy, 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 and they're just standing there holding the space. So they're like our opposite, and I think we just need to value that and learn from them and really hold them as sacred so that, like you said, we can live, continue to live on this planet.
Yeah.
Well, it takes some honoring, you know, in our each individual small way, if we honor the trees and protect them, then that will be reflected back. And it goes much farther. I mean, it only takes a handful of people to get that energy spinning and let it really grow. So everyone go out and hug a tree tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm afraid too, because they might cut it down. I'm just kidding.
Go someplace where it's safe and the point is make the connection.
Yes.
Make the connection. So I thank you both for joining us. And
thank you so much for having me.
On behalf of everyone here at Starseed Radio Academy, Lavendar, Anastasia, myself, Vanya, Claudia, Fiona, thank you so much for joining us. And we will be back next week. And I do want to mention that we will be taking January 30th off. So have a happy holiday. We'll be here next week with Gloria Amendola. And enjoy the holiday season and share the joy with everyone. Until next week, let's stand in our own light.
Yes.
Good night.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.